You are listening to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM Community Radio for East Central Illinois, streaming online at weft.org.
We're going to boogie wah.
Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Sending a shout out to all of my sisters and the one that we're going to miss for forever. Rest well.
Here we come. life is fun, and we've just begun to get our share of this world's delight. High hopes we have for the future and our goals in sight. We know we don't get depressed. Here's what we call our golden rule. Have faith in you and the things you do. You won't go wrong. Oh no, this is our family jewel. We are family. Yeah, sing it to me.
I got all my sisters and me.
Sing it to me.
We are family.
Oh, I can hear you guys.
Yes, everybody sing.
Ooh.
We
have faith in you and the things you do. Hey, hey.
I got all my sisters and me.
Oh, yeah.
We are family.
Yeah. Get up, y'all.
Get up, everybody sing.
Hey, hey, hey.
We are family.
I got my sisters with me.
I got all my sisters and everybody.
Hey, hey, hey.
We are family.
All right, all right. Good morning, everybody. This is Brother Aaron, a.k.a. Brother A-Dub. Down here, 90.1 FM on your listening dial. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speaker. They do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or WEFT associates. So what you hear down here, charge it to me, not everybody else who's down here working day and night to try to keep WEFT alive and well so that we can keep bringing you quality radio programming, alternative radio programming that you will not get from your commercial stations. And to me, it's very clear exactly how important that is so that one might be able to share accurate information about what's really happening on the ground at a grassroots level and not get the sort of production that's done in the typical commercial radio or commercial television station. So what you have down here in WEFT is a jewel, but it needs to be polished by you. So continue to come down here and offer your support, offer your time, your energy, your intellect, your creativity, and your money so that we can keep WEFT alive and well and on the air for another 35 years or more. So listen, I'm here today doing my job, but certainly there's a lot going on in our lives, and I want to send that last song out just to try to lift my own spirits and send a shout out to all of my sisters and my brother and my mother and my father, my nieces and nephews, who we are all mourning the loss of one of my older sisters, Tina Corsby, and we miss you already, and we will be dealing with this for some time to come. So your brother has a heavy heart this morning. I need my community, my family community, to continue to be there to support us. Give me a call down here, 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Or you can try 217-359-6545. You know, as I talk about my struggles as a black man living in this nation, in this society, and I struggle to express sometimes to friends and foes exactly what it's like to have to deal with the historical wrongs, the institutional racism, the plight of life, the normal things that we deal with the death and loss of loved ones, or just the other cards that life might deal you. And those things happen to all of us. But when you're dealing with the isms of sexism and racism and all these other different types of things, it makes it that much more difficult for you, especially when those who should have an ear and should bend their ear, they don't quite understand. So it's a heavy morning, but we're going to try to keep it moving and try to do what we're supposed to do. to continue to do the work that we've been doing. Go ahead, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning, Brother Abel. This is Sister Carol. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Carol. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good, good, good. What you got for me?
I was just calling to greet the West listeners this morning with peace and blessings and invite anyone who don't know what they want to do this morning but want to come out and join us for our Women Making Waves brunch this morning. It's taking place at the Hawthorne Suite Hotel. We're starting at 9:30. We left so you get there between 9 and 9:30 so you can greet each other. There is a ticket price at the door, but whatever you want to contribute to support your state rep reelection, we really appreciate. So, you know, if you got time this morning, come on out to Hawthorne.
So I played We Are Family by Sister Sledge and got all my sisters with me. So you have several sisters who are going to be in the building this morning. Is that correct? Who are going to be at the Hawthorne Suites this morning? I want to talk about them a little bit.
Sisters with me. Yeah. Our keynote speaker this morning is the wonderful Robin Kelly, who's a congresswoman from just north of us here in the state of Illinois. And she's a big advocate on really working on sensible gun laws. She's been advocating to try to, you know, stop some of the violence up in the city of Chicago area. And she'll be our keynote speaker this morning. We also have my House colleague, Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, alumni of the University of Illinois, Senator Toy Hutchison. We have a special award that we're doing for our own Ms. Linda Abernathy, who has served as our Champaign Township Supervisor and Executive Director of Best Interests of Children for a number of years, serving this community and family members in this community. So we are going to have a fantastic morning with song and celebration of the reelection of myself and several other really important people who are serving in our community.
Very good, very good, very good. All right, so, and I think that there's going to be a couple of other people now. I thought you said Sherry Bustos would be there, as well as Susana Mendoza, women who are, you go ahead and explain who they are.
Well, Susana Mendoza is running for comptroller and at the state of the state right now. We do need a comptroller who will prioritize the disabled, the poor, and pay the bills of the state. That will help those people in those communities. And Susana Mendoza would be the first Latina statewide to win an election in the state of Illinois.
And I hear the current comptroller can't multiply. Is that correct?
I didn't get to see that video. Did you see that video?
Yeah, I saw the video. It was pretty disturbing that she didn't know little simple stuff like 8 times 4 and, you know, just, basic mathematic stuff that the comptroller can't add and multiply. That's a problem.
That's an interesting scenario. The video was a little damning for her, but we're not worried about her. We're trying to elect Susana Mendoza. She'll be with us this morning at the Hawthorne Suites Hotel, and we certainly want those who are listening, please come out this morning, enjoy a wonderful breakfast and a fantastic program. We're going to introduce some women in leadership that everyone should know, and so we want people to join us. I'm going to jump off the line. I'm going to give you a call back in a few minutes. I'm going inside of the Hawthorne.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I know that you're a very important person, but I have to ask you a question. Are men allowed at this Women Making Waves thing, or is this just
everyone's allowed? Men, women, and children. We want you to come in and join us this morning for a wonderful breakfast with your state rep, Carolina.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you all. So you heard it there from her. From your state representative herself, going out to the Women Making Waves brunch from 9 a.m. to noon today. And 9:30 to noon basically is when the doors open, but there will be a meet and greet from 9 to 9:30 for folks to meet some of these powerful women who are making great change and who are offering their contributions to humanity and to society. So you can get a chance to meet them and ask them questions, learn from them, share ideas, whatever it might be. But it's a wonderful event. This is the second annual Women Making Waves event hosted by your state representative, Carol Ammons. All right. So also there's a lot, you know, a lot going on, a lot of people who are running for office. I will have a young man who will come in with me at 8:30, Mr. James Tinsley, who is running for county board, District 11. And he is a young man who is ready to roll, ready to hit the ground and serve you in County Board 11. And so he wants to come out and talk to you and offer some of his thoughts and ideas as to what he hopes to bring to the county board. And he wants you to ask him a few questions, call in and talk to him. Remember, the lines are open, 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. And I'm always anxious to hear from you. And although the pledge drive is over, the pledges don't have to stop coming in. If you ever want to give something and make a donation to WEFT, we have no problem accepting that. You can send that donation and mail your financial support to WEFT 90.1 FM, P.O. Box 1223, Champaign, Illinois, 61824-1223. Again, that's WEFT 90.1 FM, P.O. Box 1223, Champaign, Illinois, 61824-1223. We do appreciate you and all of your support. If you have something that's going on, you'd like me to make an announcement or something like that, please give me a call or call in yourself at 217-359-5483. All right. Another announcement, the Breakfast Club, the North End Breakfast Club, of which I am a member and facilitator of the Breakfast Club. We will be having another political education opportunity for you at the Art Theater. One of the things that we have done consistently over the past few years, although some people think we don't do anything, but that's just a shot I'm taking. We have done quite a bit around political education and sharing the perspective, especially from the African-American viewpoint. And so one of the things that we do pretty consistently is invite people out to watch a particular film, things like Mandela, 12 Years a Slave, Fruitvale Station, Selma. We've done those and we've invited the community to come out and take part in a discussion afterwards. And we've done that at the Savoy. We've done that at the Beverly Cinema. But more consistently, we do it at the Art Theater because we kind of like the supporting the co-op and the work that Brother Austin does down there. We call him Roscoe. Amir does anyway. So we have another one coming up. We're going to watch the movie Birth of a Nation on October 9th from 7 to 10 p.m. That's going to be Sunday, October the 9th from 7 to 10 p.m. We'll watch the film and then have a brief discussion afterwards. That's an all-star panel of people like Lou Turner, Robert King, who is a member of Men Against Rape and Sexual Assault. Lou is an expert in breaking down films. Brother Sundiata will moderate. And I'm trying to remember both the sisters who are going to be on the panel with us, with them. And I'll have to pull it up to make sure I hit their names correctly. But I believe Malaika will be on there and she will offer a perspective dealing with the sort of issues surrounding this particular movie, around the how all of a sudden the issues in the past concerning Nate Parker and his alleged rape trial, well, the rape trial that did take place and alleged rape that he was acquitted for. There's a lot of folks who've been talking about that. And we want to make sure that we address the sentiments and the issue, not sentiments, but the issue of sexism as well as we talk about the issues of race that Birth of a Nation will be addressing. So we want to invite you to come on out, check it out, be a part of this conversation with us and help us deal with some of the concerns around race and sexism within our society. Birth of a Nation, October 9th from 7 to 10 p.m. Make sure you get your tickets because they are selling out pretty fast. All right. My guest will be coming in shortly. Again, I told you his name is Mr. James Tinsley. He's a young man who was actually in school. He's a father. He's grown up in this community. He was born and raised here. And so he's looking forward to having an opportunity to serve the community that has served him so well. If you have any thoughts, again, give me a call. 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. was looking for another song I wanted to play. That's not working for me. So also at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock, one of my guests, I have two other guests, Carol Inskeep and the librarian, Celeste, trying to remember Celeste's last name. I think it's, I don't want to butcher the name or say it incorrectly. I'm going to wait for her until I find it, but they will be my guests at the top of the hour. And that's pretty interesting to have Carol Celeste as my guest at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. So they will be discussing a program that I think is very, very interesting for everyone. And so I'm reaching out to all of the daycare providers out there and parents as a whole, but daycare providers in particular is something that I thought would be a very unique aspect of this program. And it's 1,000 books before kindergarten. And it's a program that they've been doing at the Urbana Free Library. And there's several programs that they have, even adult programs that they have at the library that Carol and Celeste will be talking about at the 9 o'clock hour. Something that's extremely important. Reading is definitely something that we have to embrace. And I think the library is doing a great job of creating opportunities for young people to come in and work and do homework after school, adult programs. For people to look for jobs or to, you know, different government benefits and things like that. And so it's a great place for people to go and get information and to search for information. And also this program that I'm really excited about, the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten, which sounds a little daunting to some people, but when they break it down, it makes it a lot easier for you to grasp just how you can make that happen. And one of the reasons why we want to talk about this is because the studies have shown across the country now that many children, in particular children who grow up in poverty, they arrive at kindergarten behind. They are a grade level or two grade levels behind when they get to kindergarten. So we want to do whatever we can to try to increase to address that concern and make sure that our children are arriving prepared and ready to go. Because if you starting off at a deficit at kindergarten, then, you know, it's an uphill battle for you, and many of the students become frustrated and the parents become frustrated. So we hope you'll tune in and call in also at the top of the hour, at the 9 o'clock hour, to talk to them and ask them questions about how you can get involved in those programs that they have at the Urbana Free Library. All right. I have to find my song here. Okay, I think I have one.
Wild Mustangs.
I can't believe it.
Be a man. Get this $100
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Brother Aaron. This is the Carol calling you back.
Yes, indeed.
From the Hawthorne Suite Hotel this morning.
All right, Sister Carol. What you got for me? You on the air? You call me.
I know. I was trying to see if you was talking about something in particular first.
You're not listening. Okay, I got you. I understand.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm in the Hawthorne Suites Hotel, and I don't have a radio.
I got you. I see what you're saying, because you called right in the middle of my song. Listen.
Ah.
So I let
play your song.
Actually, it's a... I just pulled up some African-American work songs. This one is called Rosie.
Okay.
And first time, I mean, I've heard it before, but I haven't really listened to it in the way that I was just trying to play some background music and get something going here as I prepare with my next guest, who has walked in. So you're right on time. As an elected official, you have a young man, another young African-American man, who is stepping out there to say, look, I want to be... I want to serve the people of my community. And so Mr. James Tinsley has entered the building. And
wonderful.
He said that Sister Carol, he wants you to ask him all kind of tough questions. No, I'm just kidding. So, but James is here. Go ahead and talk to the people a little bit, James. You can just pull that to you.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm James Tinsley. I'm running for County Board of District 11.
You got to speak right into the mic. Then.
I'm very happy. Can't be more thankful for Brother Aaron inviting me up here this morning. Happy to be able to get my voice out to the people and remind them to get out the vote this November and let them know how important it is.
Sister Carol, what you got for me?
Well, I just wanted to greet Mr. Tinsley this morning on air. Thank you for stepping up and being willing to run, because I know it's a sacrifice. You have a family. And it is something that you have to dedicate your time and attention to, which sometimes takes away from your family. So we appreciate you taking the time to do that. I'm going to jump off. I just wanted to greet you this morning. And I know Brother Ada will hold it down. And so we can get ready for Women Making Waves. I hope you can make it over here at some point this morning so you can greet people here in our communities. And you guys have a blessed interview.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much.
All right. Okay.
All righty. Okay, so James, you have been, just tell the people a little bit about yourself. What, you know, how long have you been here? How old are you? You know, talk to the people a little bit.
Okay, my name is James Tinsley. I was originally born in Fort Knox, Kentucky, but my family is from here in Champaign, Illinois, both sides, my mother and my father. I grew up in Urbana, Illinois. I'm from King Park. You know, I went to school out of Yankee Ridge and spent the most part of all my education here in Urbana School District. And graduated out of high school, spent a little time in the workforce, and decided to go back to school. And, you know, I actually decided when I was 28. So, but it took a little while. I decided to go back to school once I was 28. And since then, you know, once I became, you know, more invested in myself and more involved in myself, I was able to become more aware of what was going on in the community. You know, for a while I was kind of, even though I was living in the community, I was actually kind of blinded, you know what I'm saying, to some of the things that probably I should have been taking priority of, you know, or making a priority of. And, you know, I guess through, like I said, me investing in myself, I kind of became more aware of some of the issues in the community and through that.
So why did you choose to run at this time for county board?
Well, originally, you know, I wanted to, you know, become more involved in local politics after I got out of school. And, you know, sometimes circumstances just don't, you know, work out that way. And, I felt, you know, the community, in a sense, needs me now. You know what I'm saying? And who knows what another year and a half of delaying, you know, me being more involved could, what's the word I want to use? Me not being involved, you know, and who knows what, you know, what could be missed out, what opportunities could be missed out, or what opportunities could not be taken advantage of through, shall I say, outside representation.
So then what is it that you feel like you bring to the table that's going to make a difference at the county board level? And what is it that you bring to just to the community as a whole and representing your county? It's a county board district 11, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think with me representing the community, it brings some type of relevance. You know, I, like I said, I'm from here. You know, hopefully, you know, my predecessor has many, many amounts of years, you know, under his belt, and me being observant to that, me being building a relationship with him, mm-hmm. as well as with the community, it just makes it so much more easier for somebody from there to actually represent there. And I think that's one of the greatest things I can bring to the table. Like a lot of people within the community who have opinions, who have views and ideologies, you know, I'm very transparent and open towards hearing those views and ideas. So I think that's the most beneficial thing for the community right now. Someone who can be there for them to hear them out. And it's not like, you know, I'm a door knock away. You know what I'm saying? I'm right up the street. You know what I'm saying? I'm right in the community. So I'm very accessible. And I think that's what's most important. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times, you know, you have politicians and people, yeah, they might know their office numbers, you know what I'm saying? They might know their office hours and their office, you know, contact information. But, you know, for the most part, you know, a lot of my constituents, they know where my mama stay. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's not like I can't be reached. You know what I'm saying?
Now, so CB11 is a pretty big district.
Yes.
And it seems to encompass even a lot of rural areas. But if I'm not mistaken, I guess each county board district has about 18,000 people or something like that in it. It's one of the ways that they sort of balance it out.
Yeah.
And so your district, just like everybody else's, has a little over 18,000 people in it. But like myself, as an alderman in the city of Urbana, my ward is predominantly African American, and your county board district is also predominantly African American. So, you know, one of the things that I certainly hope to challenge in the years coming forward is that minority, I hate to use that word, diverse representation should not be just in one location. We should be able to move around a little bit. But one of the things at the county board level, I think Lorraine Coward is there. And before, when there was 27 people, Carol was also a representative. Right. And then it became with Mr. Carter and Lorraine. And you would replace Mr. Carter on the board. So we definitely have to have representation and different perspectives from different diverse groups, right. Whether it's women, but also people of color. So, you know, talk about that a little bit. Why is that important to you?
I believe it's very important because, in a sense, what we'll essentially do is segregate ourselves in the South. In a sense, you know, like you said, it's like our district is predominantly African American. So, you know, we hold the voice for those people. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, I feel like outside representation of that, you know what I'm saying, would not be in the best benefit for that community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's just me being honest about it, you know. And in that, you know, it can kind of, you know, in a sense, like I say, segregate our community or our district from the, you know, from the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So I feel like
sort of lock us out from representation.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that right there is only going to go backwards. You know what I'm saying? If we don't have, you know, relevant representation within our community, you know, and that's the main point about it, man. You know, is us staying relevant within the community and inclusion, you know, for the whole county itself. You know, like we cannot seclude ourselves, you know what I'm saying, from the rest of the county. You know, when you know, we hear, you know, constantly about this county's prospering and how there's so many more, you know, beneficial opportunities for so many, you know, Champagnians or Urbanians. and you know, to an extent, you know, a lot of my people within the community don't see it, you know, or they don't have access to it. They're not aware of it. So I think that's the biggest point is, you know, for District 11 to have inclusion when it comes to the rest of the county.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take a quick break here. I got to do some underwriting announcements. Kevin Elliott Counseling Group has 35 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including state employee insurance, is accepted. There is also a self-pay sliding scale. You can contact Kevin Elliott or his staff at ElliottCounselingGroup.com. That's ELLIOTT CounselingGroup.com. Or you can give them a call at 217-398-9066. Again, that's 217-398-9066 for Kevin Elliott Counseling Group. So, you know, I try to tie these things in because not only is it the underwriting, which we greatly appreciate, but when we talk about, I kind of spoke to earlier in my sort of opening remarks about, it's one thing to just deal with the everyday pressures of life, but to have to deal with it from the standpoint of poverty and to deal with it from the standpoint of race, right? It adds another two more layers to this that that sometimes is very difficult to explain to people. Poverty, you know, knows no bounds. Anyone who has experienced poverty experiences what comes with poverty.
Right.
But being black in America and being a black man in America is a different layer of sometimes very frustrating aspects to this. And so sometimes, you know, we didn't have Kevin Elliott counseling, right? You know, we didn't have that. I mean, the church was your space, or you just sucked it up and you had to deal with whatever.
Right.
And coming from this community and coming from the streets in this community, how do you think that you have been just being who you are has prepared you for the position and for this moment in time?
I think me coming from the actual, you know, North End district, like I said, like, man, people know who my family is. They know where I come from, you know, and I think I'm very accessible, you know, when it comes to, you know, can I be heard? I mean, can I be heard and can I have an ear to listen? You know, that's the biggest thing. As far as when it comes to, you know, being an African-American male, you know, here, especially within District 11, I will say growing up, some resources were limited. And like you say, you know, a lot of my male figures came from church. You know what I'm saying? Some came from, you know, other areas within the community. You know, and I say this to a lot of people, man. Like, I come from a family to where, you know, my mother didn't know how to help me do my homework. You know what I'm saying? All she knew was I had to get it done. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she focused every on a daily basis, like, educate yourself. You know what I'm saying? I can't necessarily teach you how to be, you know, I can't educate you myself, but you have to make it a priority to get out and educate yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she graduated high school, she graduated college, but, you know, herself, she comes from parents who, you know, my grandfather had no more than a, you know, seventh grade, you know, level of education. But his main focus in his kids was to educate yourself. You know, he didn't know exactly how to do it, you know what I'm saying? But he made it a primary goal of theirs to go out and seek that education. And in seeking education, you know what I'm saying, you learn more about yourself. You learn more about your capabilities. You learn, you know, what type of drive you have, you know what I'm saying? What will make or break you in a sense, you know? And I feel like there are so many people like me within District 11 who just need, you know, they don't even have, you know, they don't have that little push to even, you know what I'm saying, the little fire to, you know, make themselves, not necessarily become more educated, but just become more aware of their capabilities.
Okay.
And I think that's very important. That's what's going to help us prosper. That's what's going to, you know, that's when we're from our end, when we're able to, you know what I'm saying, create new jobs in the community or build relationships through employers and employees in this community, that's going to make or break the difference, you know what I'm saying, from people who are actually willing, you know what I'm saying, to help us establish those relationships.
So let's focus a little bit more on specifically on the county board.
Okay.
So what is it that you have observed that you like to see change or that you like to bring to the a new perspective on it at the county board level?
Okay. One of the main things is, you know, the criminal justice, you know, system we deal with here, you know, as far as the rate of, shall I say, District 11 citizens, you know, can sometimes be subjected to arrest, you know, in the sense of being arrested, I think, you know, we need to work towards helping them, have a life after that. You know, saying that don't let, you know, their criminal records deter them from actually contributing to society. You know, that's the biggest thing I think we deal with here in Champaign County is we say, you know, when you're arrested or when you have a record, you know what I'm saying, when you pay your debt back to society, you know, you can go on about life. But I think a lot of people deal with, you know, that debt never not fully being paid. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the biggest things I want to fight towards here in District 11, you know, I mean, not just saying I want to, you know, help everybody with criminal records, but at the same time, you have people without criminal records that are, you know, in a sense struggling, you know, saying that are in a sense not being able to find employment, you know, and even if they, you know, they might not necessarily be able to find employment, they might not necessarily know where their next step in life is going to be as far as whether they want to go back to school or whether they want to switch jobs. I think here in District 11, my biggest thing is just to make the people more aware of their opportunities here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So, but as it relates to, like, your votes and stuff like that, they're going to take place at the county board level as it relates to the criminal justice system, right? What is it that's going on within the criminal justice system that you feel like needs to be changed at that county board level where you would have some impact? What is it that you have noticed that you think should be changed or expounded upon?
Well, I think what needs to be changed is the, you know, the actual programs we have, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, whether it's mental disability programs or, you know, or just, you know, life assistance programs. Like, I think, you know, what we do too often here in District 11 is lock people up who don't necessarily need to be locked up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you being homeless isn't a reason for you to be locked up. You know what I'm saying? You having a mental disability is not a reason for you to be locked up. You know what I'm saying? These are people in need. These are our people in need. You know what I'm saying? So I don't feel a jail cell is the best route for that. You know what I'm saying? We see a lot of, you know, minuscule, you know, drug charges here. We see many minuscule drug charges here in District 11, and people are being locked up for it. Not once are they given any type of assistance or help towards changing their lives. And I think, you know, with the Justice Task Force system, with the Access Initiative program, like, you know, programs like that, you know, are really needed to, you know what I'm saying, work towards changing people's lives here in District 11 instead of just locking them up. Mm-hmm. You know, I said this once earlier when I was campaigning, you know, us sitting here, you know, trying to come up with, you know, using $38 million to build a new county jail, you know, that's pretty much us putting all of our poker chips on continuing to arrest people. You know what I'm saying? And we're not investing in our community whatsoever. So when we sit here and look down the line, yeah, we have this state-of-the-art jail, you know what I'm saying? But our people, you know, the integrity, the actual morale of our people here in the county is just going to be at an all-time low because people aren't living to, you know, better themselves. They're actually living to, you know, pay court costs. You know what I'm saying? They're living to dodge the police. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to live like that. I don't want my people to live like that. You know what I'm saying? I want them to actually be able to, you know what I'm saying, see some type of, you know, spiritual uplifting, you know, through as a whole in the community. You know what I'm saying? I want to look at my fellow brother and see him doing better and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? I want him to see that as well.
So at that county board level, you see those programs, like you named a couple of things that you felt like needed to be addressed or expounded upon. And so, you know, there's a lot going on around this referendum that's coming up.
Yes.
That's going to be on the ballot that has been put forth as a facilities tax, quarter cent sales tax. But in reading the documents, it seems to appear very clearly that it's going to be probably 75% of that money is going to be spent to build a new jail.
Right.
And so, you know, you raise some of the concerns around that. So the other part of it is that they the referendum is sort of also built around that other 75% is some money that would go to maybe a mental health component within the jail or the nursing home facility.
Right.
So it's a pretty interesting scenario with this particular referendum. I was wondering just if you had any thoughts about it.
Like I said, you know, we shouldn't have to have a mental disability department within the jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, that should be its own, you know what I'm saying, entity within itself. Like, mm-hmm. Why can't we invest in our people? Why do people have to go to jail for us to want to help them? You know what I'm saying? Why can't we stop that before it happens? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and that goes the same way, you know what I'm saying, when we deal with, you know, we deal with certain issues of gun violence here in town. It's like, man, when a person, you know, when a person is shot or when, you know, when you know, I'm like my grandmother, I listen to the scanner, you know what I'm saying, at night. So like when I hear these reports, you know what I'm saying, that's the end result. You know what I'm saying? When a person is shot, that's the final result of a problem. You know what I'm saying? That shouldn't be when, you know what I'm saying, I ain't going to say that shouldn't be when the police step in, but that shouldn't be when the community steps in. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, when somebody is shot and now we out here marching, it's like, man, you know, that shouldn't have been the straw that broke the camel's back. You know what I'm saying? Because we all seen it. We ain't all see the shooting, but we've all seen the, you know what I'm saying, the tension.
The lead up, the build up.
Yeah, we know the build up to it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, man, we wait to the very last end and finally be like, okay, all right, now let's help our people. Now let's get out and march and protest and remind our people to be peaceful and you know, no, man, this is you know, we trying to set up, you know what I'm saying, something from the ground up to where, like, man, if somebody, I want to be surprised when it's a shooting.
And so that's why I'm trying to see how what could be something that you sort of sink your teeth into from a county level that you think would help promote something like that, right? So, you know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think, just, man, build more programs to work with our children. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, school shouldn't be the primary source of education with our children here in the community. You know, I go to a university, man, they got over 1,000-something student organizations. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know nothing about a French club until I got to the university. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, why don't our children have these at a younger age? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we see it, you know, it's very, you know, spotted with the certain amount of programs that are, you know, available for children or for, you know, preteens and all that. But it's mm-hmm. like, are they aware of them? Do they have access to them? You know what I'm saying? Like, how big of, you know, yeah, we might get out here and walk doors for a political campaign, but how many doors are we walking to actually, like, get children into a program? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Or getting their parents into a program. You know what I'm saying? To help them learn how to educate them, you know, their kids a little bit better. So,
well, it's interesting that you say that, because my guests at the top of the hour are dealing with both of those things at the Urbana Free Library.
Okay.
A couple of adult programs as well as children programs. And I think you would be very interested, being someone who's, you know, very interested in your academics and stuff like
right.
that. And I would say that anyone who's educated is self-educated.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of very powerful people, male and female, from all walks of life and different types of lifestyles, who never finished elementary school.
Right.
And are very powerful, very influential, mega millionaires and billionaires, mm-hmm. right? Or just had more influence than many people who've ever walked the earth. And they barely finished fourth or fifth grade. But because there's something more to being educated than being academically trained, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a balance that you can get from being academically trained, and there's research and history that you learn when you go to a University of Illinois or something like that. But, you know, one of the things that I think is special about people like you and I is that we value the other education that we got as well,
right?
Yeah, and you
much.
Balance that and you temper that when you move forward to help create policies and write policies and vote either yay or nay on particular things.
Right.
So you talked about earlier about job creation. Is there something in particular that you see happening at the county board level where more job opportunities could exist for your constituents?
I'd say, you know, as far as when it comes to big companies wanting to move into District 11, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to sit here and say that there should be stipulations placed on them as far as, you know what I'm saying, the percentage of I'm not going to sit here and say Black Americans, but mm-hmm. I will sit here and say District 11 citizens. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. if you're going to move into District 11, you need to be employing some of them. You know what I'm saying? And this goes for unions, small businesses, you know, you know, I've seen it, you know, we've seen a recent, you know, a rise in real estate owners, you know what I'm saying, through student, you know, apartments coming into, you know, District 11. And like, I think that's just the biggest thing about it. Like, if you want to set up your establishment within District 11, you know, you got to come and employ some of our people, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, we can talk about that at a county board level, or we can just talk about that at an organizational level. Like, man, you know, you're coming and taking up space. So, like, employ some of our people, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And you know, I think with a county board voice, that is something I could advocate towards, you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
So we got about 10 more minutes before my other guests come in. I want to know a little bit more about you. So what are you studying at the university?
I'm studying political science with a concentration in history.
In history.
So, yeah.
What aspect of history is there in particular?
American history. So, yeah, it's going back from pre-colonization all the way up to, you know, current day. So
pre-colonization.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
and political science.
Yes.
So and what year are you? Are you?
I'm going into my final year right now. So I have technically I'm what you call a fifth year senior, but yeah, I'm not in my fifth year yet. So mm-hmm. like I'm in my senior year now, and I'm going to take one more semester after that.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Carla. You on the air?
Yeah. Good morning, A-Dub.
Good morning.
Listen, I wanted to ask Brother Tinsley. Just recently, I was over to Brooklyn and I voted, and I noticed on the other side of the ballot is that they're trying to elect a chairperson for the county board to be elected, like, countywide. Isn't Mariam the chairperson of the county board right now?
Well, no, sir, Brother Ted. Ms. Mariam is the chair of the Democratic Party, the local Democratic Party. The chair of the county board right now is not that, not Ms. Mariam. It's someone else.
Okay. How do they elect their chair person now? Is it by the board? Because on the ballot, they were asking that the chairperson be elected by the voters.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's by the board, isn't it?
Correct? Yeah, it's by the board right now. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, it's by the board right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then my question to Brother Tinsley is what does he think about the chairperson going from election of the county board to the chairperson being elected by the citizens of the community?
I'm all for it. With any way you could get more opinionated voice, more opinions from the people, I'm all for it. You know, the more power to the people. You know, you can't argue with that.
Oh, okay. Now you're running for the board, right?
Yes, sir.
Right? Okay. So you just started running. You're trying to be elected in November.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. So you're not that familiar yet with what goes on with the county board as such.
Well,
now,
from the inside, I would agree with you. But, you know, with me working, you know, I've been working with the Champaign County Young Dems now for a little over 2 years. So,
oh, okay, great.
So yeah, I'm actually the vice president of the Champaign County Young Democrats. So I've been, you know, I'm fairly aware on some of the issues that are going on. Some of the issues that I'm not aware on, you know, what I'm saying I try to, you know, update myself as much as possible. But yeah, like I wouldn't say I'm fairly new to it, but I mean, but in a sense, yeah, this is my first political campaign I'm running for, and yeah, like I will be the new guy on the board.
Okay, well, you certainly seem like you've been involved, and so hopefully you get elected, and certainly we would appreciate having you serve, man.
And not a problem. I'm more than happy and more than appreciative of people standing behind me.
Yeah.
So, Brother Ted, you know, I always like when you call in. I got a couple of minutes here, but
yes,
I think you raised an important point that I really, really, really want to drive home to the listeners.
Uh-huh.
And we got to spread the word and amplify this voice that you vote from the top of the ticket to the bottom of the ticket.
Right.
Right. Now, you may decide not to vote in some of those, but you have intentionally and consciously made a decision not to vote. I don't want to tell people how to get down, but I'm just saying, don't go in and say, I voted for the president. Here's my ballot. Right.
Right.
Go down all the way down. Carol Ammons is on the ballot again. Scott Bennett
is on the ballot.
Susanna,
right.
Mendoza, James Tinsley, and there are questions like you just raised, Brother Ted,
yeah,
about whether or not you ought to elect countywide. Now, one of the concerns that I have about electing countywide is that you tend to get more rural Republican representation
right
when you do that, right?
Right.
And
right.
So at this particular point, I would be opposed. I would be voting no on that piece.
Well, see, that was my concern, because what I was looking at is that I believe right now, and you have to correct me because I'm trying to keep up with it sometimes, is that it's more Democrats on the county board than there are Republicans now,
yeah,
or at least it's close.
One might disagree with that, Craig, based upon Brother Ted, based upon the way things are rolling out right now.
Republican, right? Who got Democrat labels?
There you go. Exactly. And some of that's about to change. So,
so
that's part of that concern. But we do think that it's going to be much more balanced if you keep it where the board is actually electing the county chair.
Okay, I would see that because, number one, if it stays within the board, and I don't know, and again, I know Brother Tinley is going to be observant about a lot of this, but if you keep it within the board and where the politics are functioning on a regular basis, you got the people who are elected to the county board can actually see mm-hmm. What each individuals are doing, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, sir.
And, right, and they would really have the information. And when you begin to open that door wide open, then kick it open, and then there's a lot of things that go on in the communities, and particularly those folks who grew up in areas where they haven't been socialized when it comes to people of color. They get rubbed in a certain way, and they just shut down. And a lot of programs that you're sitting there advocating for, you know, to go forward to help take pressure off of, you know, some of the people who are fighting tooth and nail, you know, just to, you know, stay abreast.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And having resources in order to make it in this society.
Yeah. And so,
you know, you really need, you got to have people on that board who are going to really fight for the kinds of programs that keep the support there for the people that, you know, we always say we're running and we're trying to help.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks again for calling, and thanks for raising that important point. Remember, from the top of your ballot to the bottom of your ballot, there's the things on there that you got to pay attention to and you got to vote. So thanks again, Brother Ted, for calling in. I appreciate it.
One other thing, A-Dub, too, is that you pay a close attention to the fine print, because there also have other initiatives on there, like for the schools. The building of the new schools. So
yes,
it's going to be important that they read that. And it's always helpful, too, if that some folks, before they go voting, talk to some folks, you know, who have been there before, and they can help explain that information. Because, you know, a lot of times when they write and prepare those ballots, they have it so convoluted to a certain extent. And
on
we sometimes
purpose.
Wonder, my, if I vote yes, it seems like I'm voting no. If I vote no, it seems like I'm voting yes. And it's because the way the thing has been so worded.
Yeah, sometimes it's logically based.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And so people have to be very conscious of that when they go to the polls.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brother T. Appreciate you, man.
Okay. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Brother Tinsley, you got a minute. Your stump speech, what you got?
Man, I just want to sit here and tell the people, I'm happy Brother Aaron invited me here today to sit here and get my voice out, man. I just want to remind the people, man, to get out and vote this November, man. It's very important. Like Brother A-Dub just said, man, from top to bottom, you know, we all know, you know, what's going on at the executive level and how, you know, how attention getting that is. But there are so many issues that are so important down here at our level, man. And I just want to let the people of District 11 know that I'm here for them. I'm definitely going to do to the best of my ability, man, a due diligence amount, you know what I'm saying, of a hard work for the community of District 11, man. You know, man, just make sure you get out there and vote from the top of the bottom of the ballot, man. Like Brother Aaron just said, man, there are a lot of issues, man, that are going to be on there that, you know, a lot of people aren't aware about, whether it's the school referendum, where it's, you know, the Justice Task Force, the legalization of marijuana. You know, it's a lot of important issues that are going to be on the ballot this year. And I just want to make sure everybody gets out there and vote, whether it's for me or whether it's for, you know what I'm saying, whoever your choice is, man, just get out there and voice your opinion. That's the most important part about it, mm-hmm. is to go out there and utilize your rights. You know?
Absolutely. And, you know, we got the Young Democrats and we have the local Democratic Party. But you have all these other different parties. One of the things that has emerged after the on the heels of the Black Lives Matter movement is the Black Vote Matters movement. So y'all stay tuned. Make sure you get registered. Early voting started Thursday. If you are a registered voter, you can go vote at any of the early voting locations. I think Love Corner is one of those locations. Brother Tinsley, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Man.
And I appreciate you stepping up out and putting yourself out there to take this chance, because it's a sacrifice. A lot of people think it's a privilege, but it's a sacrifice. Thanks for coming, man.
Thank you for having
me. I'm going to make some play a little music and let my next guest come in. James
right.
Tinsley for County Board District 11. He will be representing me because I'm in County Board District 11. And you got my vote, brother.
That's right. Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it. Peace and love.
Critics and audiences are raving about the number one movie in America.
Good Lord.
That's right.
Rolling Stone rave.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant South, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rock, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter cry.
All right, all right. We are back, everybody. And in the house with me, I have Celeste Choate, as well as Carol Inskeep, representing the Urbana Free Library. And I'm going to turn these down, my Negro spiritual songs. All right. So, again, though, you can call us down here at 359-5483 or 217-359-6545. We were just interviewing a guest, Mr. James Tinsley, who's running for County Board District 11, and he talked about the importance of education, and he talked a lot about how his mom and his grandparents even weren't as astute educationally and from an academic standpoint as they wanted to be, and they always stressed to him the importance of education and being educated. And so I thought it was a perfect segue, I was telling him then, into what we're going to discuss this morning around children being educated, the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten mm-hmm. program, as well as some of the things that you shared with me, Carol, about the adult programs that you monitor, that you are part of at the Urbana Free Library. So if you would, just take a few minutes, each of you, introduce yourselves to the people.
Well, I'm Carol Inskeep, longtime WEFT listener, my first time guest on Aaron's show. For many years, I've been working at Urbana Free Library, first as in teen programming, and now I do a lot of adult programs, and it's very exciting to be here with Celeste.
And I'm Celeste Choate. I'm the executive director at the Urbana Free Library. My family and I moved down from Ann Arbor, Michigan about 2.5 years ago to work at the library and be part of this amazing team in support of our community, and we're absolutely thrilled to be here.
And I just want to say to excuse me, to both of you, I've known Carol for a long time. We've worked together on lots of different things in the past. But Celeste, I really appreciate your work as well. You always come and you're prepared to share with us at the council. But you're very passionate about the things that you and I have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me, but you told me something about the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program that mm-hmm. really stuck out to me because as I was working on the campaign with Bernie Sanders, I was able to meet a gentleman who studied education and policy studies, and we were talking about the Head Start programs, and he was highlighting for me that children are showing up, the data and the research is showing that children are showing up at Head Start and pre-K and kindergarten behind a grade level or two even then. And
that's
so
right.
And when you mentioned that the 1,000 books before kindergarten program, it really just stuck out to me. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, if you would?
So the 1,000 books before kindergarten program is a national initiative because it is recognized that the more words that children hear and experience, especially with people that care about them, conversations, reading books, the more words that they hear, the better they are prepared before life, and especially before they get to be about 3.5 years old. That's really important. And we find that there is a gap between kids who have lots of conversations with their adults that love them, as well as hearing stories. There's a gap of lots and lots of words, and that has an impact throughout the rest of their life. So there's an initiative called the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten that gives parents a framework that's reasonable and manageable to sit down with their children that they love, caregivers, friends, daycare providers, again, people that care about these children, to have a reason to sit down and read, in addition to the fact that it's actually quite fun. So we have this program. Parents and caregivers get a little handout that's got 100 pictures of little animals. Could be a dinosaur, could be a penguin. I have a whole set for you here, actually.
Oh, okay. All
so. Right. When the kid listens to a book, they get to check off their dinosaur or color it on the sheet. And when they read 100 books, they get to bring it to the library and they get a sticker, a small incentive that's fun because kids love their stickers.
Now, for those of us who hear the word reading and say, oh, my God, I've got to read a book with 23 chapters and 800 pages in it. I got to read 1,000 of those before I get to kindergarten. Is this lady insane? What's going on here? So talk to us a little bit about what qualifies for a book, right? You know what I mean?
What makes it
a little more palatable to people who think, how am I going to get 1,000 books in before my child gets to kindergarten?
Well, I bet most of your listeners are doing this already and they don't even know it. Every time you sit down and read one of those little board books, Goodnight Moon, or you read a piggy and elephant book, all of those books count. Those books you reread to your children again and again because they love them so much. In this program, you count every time you read a book. And when they sit down and read the book back to you, that counts too. So if you read 3 books a day, which I guess most people are probably doing, you're going to get through this whole program in 1 year. If you read 1 book a day, it takes you longer, but it's very manageable. And again, it gives people the ability to have success. The kids get to celebrate reading with the person that they love. And at the end of it all, at 1,000 books, the children get a free book, which is sponsored by the Friends of the Urbana Free Library. They love to give books to children and teens and adults. So in addition to reading the books, kids come out of the program owning a book for their library.
So that's interesting because we know most children like to watch the same movie or read the same book like 50 times, right? You know, and the parents are like, oh, my God, do you know this book by now? But it's very helpful when you start to think about it, even from a mathematical standpoint, that, you know, 3 times 365, you're there. Right. You know, it's not as daunting of a task as one might think if you just think about 1,000 books. Right. You know, so I really appreciate it when you shared that at the council. And since we've been talking about how to get there. Right. You know, and what qualifies and what doesn't. So I don't know if there's anything else in particular that you wanted to share about the program that you thought, you know, just needed to be we need to drive it home to the listeners.
It really makes a difference. A third of the kindergartners starting kindergarten in Champaign County are unprepared, according to data that's been shared with the Cradle to Career initiative.
Okay, wait a minute. Say that stat again. How many?
So a third of the children in Champaign County are unprepared for kindergarten. That's a huge number of children. And the good news is there are wonderful libraries scattered throughout this community. The Champaign Public Library is doing this program as well. You can check out books at all the different local libraries and the librarians there will be happy to help you find books that interest your kid because, like you were saying, Aaron, sometimes they get a favorite. It's normal to get a favorite. They want to read it again and again, and that's part of how you learn to read. It's the repetition. It's the memorization. Kids will sometimes memorize a book and pretend to read it. They've actually memorized it, and that is part of how you learn to read, and we encourage that. As hard as it can be for the parents to hear that book one more time or read it one more time, it is part of the learning process, and it does build that relationship, the repetition, exactly.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I thought about when we first discussed this is the daycare providers. There's so mm-hmm. many daycare mm-hmm. providers in our community who have children, you know, for hours and hours in a day, you know, mm-hmm. and looking for, I would imagine looking for some way to keep them busy, right, during the day, and how they could participate in the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program. And so, you know, I'm committed to trying to get out to talk to some of those. My sister, one of my older sisters, Adrian, is a daycare provider. My aunt and cousin, my cousin Olivia, is also a daycare provider. And we just know so many of them who are in the community. And this program is for what age groups, again?
This is through birth through kindergarten.
From birth to kindergarten. All right.
And sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just writing it down. Mm-hmm.
We have librarians who would be happy to go out and do go out to daycares and do a story time. So if it would be helpful to have one of the staff come out and meet with the daycare provider and talk it through and bring sheets that you can use for all the kids at the same time so they have success at the same time, give us a call at the library. We'd love to talk with you about that.
Okay. Carol, you wanted to say something?
I was just going to say the other thing I love about this program is when you're a really busy parent with a long list of stuff to do and a lot of pressures on you, mm-hmm. a program like this reminds you, you know what? Sit down and take 20 minutes, hold your kid on your lap, and the two of you just relax. And some of the best, most intimate, warm times between me and my kids when they were young is when we would cuddle up and read a book together. There could be all kinds of temper tantrums or all kinds of drama going on, but when we sat down on the couch, one on either side, and read a book, that was this beautiful time together that we all could share. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's partly training a kid, and it's partly training a parent. Take the time. Take the time.
Hmm. Well, the other programs that you have also, Carol, that you're working on at the library, the adult programs and stuff like that, how do you see the connection between the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten and some of the work that you're doing on the back end with adults who are just now getting their GEDs and stuff like that?
Well, there's a couple ways I see it fitting together. One is, if you're going to have kids succeed in school, you need to have adults that care about them, mm-hmm. that are helping them get there. And so it's partly what you model. It's partly the kind of support you give. And we all know, as an adult, you have to have an amazing amount of skills yourself to be able to help your kid get through school successfully. Mm-hmm. So there's that, for sure. Then I would say there are many adults in our community who, for any of a range of reasons, whether it's English is their second language, whether it's they were unable to complete their own education, mm-hmm. whether there are some big gaps in their education, they're in their 50s, and all of a sudden they're in a digital world where you can't apply for a job unless you know how to use a computer. So there are many adults who, for so many reasons, are trying to catch up. And there's often, in addition to a lack of resources to help people catch up, there's a sense of shame. Mm-hmm. And so a beautiful thing about the library is we have the collections, we have the computers, and we have the staff that treat people with a kind of respect and dignity that helps bring everybody along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was noticing some of the things that you shared in your email about the number of hours of public computer use, you know, and I remember going to the library on numerous occasions when I just didn't have the access that I have now, right? And coming to the library, and it was important to be able to have that access to get to job applications or, you know, government benefit programs and all those different types of things. So it sounds like the library does quite a bit of that.
Absolutely. We've got a computer lab. I think I shared with you last month, for example, 4,000 hours of public computing time. And if you stop and think about that for a minute, what that means for a community our size. Mm-hmm. And many people have some kind of internet access on their phone or there's some access they have. Mm-hmm. But to open up a PDF, to apply for a job, to complete your schoolwork, all these things require much more. They require a desktop computer. And in addition, they may require some staff help. If you've not used the Parkland website before and you're just learning, right, how do I upload that homework assignment?
Mm-hmm.
You feel kind of embarrassed. Seem like everybody else in the whole world knows how to do this. No, that's not true. There's lots of people. We're all learning. We're all here. And there's somebody right there who can help you with that.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to interject right here, I get compliments all the time from community members telling me how amazing the staff are and how patient they are, and how they make it easy to come in and ask for help. Because like you're saying, Carol, it's not easy to ask for help, but I am complimented all the time for the great work that staff at the library do. They're passionate about serving.
Yeah, absolutely. Even when I have to get something notarized, the people are, we enjoy the library and the space itself. But I also see this program, the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program, being a way to, you know, address some of the concerns that you're speaking to on the back end, you know, of an adult who feels somewhat ashamed or guilty about not having a skill set that could have been, honed or brought out of them, mm-hmm, at a much younger age to develop a thirst for reading. So wide open, any type of book that's chosen is fair game, Celeste?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you bring your child to the library for story times, those books count too, and they usually read 4 or 5 books every time.
And what's the story time hours again? How does that work?
We have multiple story times. So every Tuesdays, we have baby's lap time at 10 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. There's a toddler story time on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. And then there's a preschool story time on Thursdays at 10 a.m. And at least once a month, they have an evening event. So families that have working during the day issues, we have a Tales for Tots first Wednesdays at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. So people can just come in, Urbana Free Library, just bring the children in, go down to the children's section. And is it a circle? Is it a group of people reading the same book? Or is it just you off with your child doing your own story time?
Actually, librarians get at the front of the room and they read to the group. There are stories, there are songs, sometimes there are crafts, there's music to reach out to all the senses. There's usually some type of physical motion, either hand plays or jumping up and down to get the wiggles out.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's like your radio show, basically.
Yes,
and then we'll have special events throughout the year, too. So Matt Metcalf came last year from WCIA, and he read The Polar Express for the 30-year anniversary of The Polar Express. And people came in their jammies, and then there were all kinds of snacks and things. So
some theme type of things that you can do also to try to, yeah.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Is there something specific for, like, on Halloween, for instance, and instead of children going out and trick-or-treating or whatever, is there something like they can wear their costumes to the library and be read to? That would be cool.
They are.
We're going to hire you, Aaron. You got ideas, man.
One of my favorite programs, like you're talking about, themed, is the Noon Year's Eve on December 31st, because the little ones can't stay up as late as all that. So they have the story time and songs and crafts, and then they count down the ball falling at noon.
And then they stick a straw in a Capri Sun, right? That's cool. So listen, you all who are out there listening, give us a call, 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. We're talking about 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten with Celeste Choate from Urbana Free Library, and also talking about the wonderful teen and adult programs at the Urbana Free Library with Miss Carol Inskeep. So we want to hear from you. Educating our children. We've got a referendum coming up talking about why we need new schools. We're always talking about school funding. Wonderful, wonderful educational opportunities right at the Urbana Free Library. You should be calling me down here, 217-359-5483, 217-359-6545, to see how you might be able to get involved. And tell me if you're already involved in the reading programs at the Urbana Free Library. You may be someone who has benefited from it. We love to hear your story. So I don't know who wants to go next. Carol, what else you got about the teen program?
So we should probably talk about our Teen Open Lab. Celeste, do you want to introduce a little bit about it?
Sure. In 2013, Joel, one of our librarians, met with some of the teens at the library. And instead of having the kids be shushed for being loud in a too small space and enjoying the library, they had a conversation. And Joel and the teenagers talked about what it is they wanted from their library. And they wanted a space to come together and collaborate and to be teenagers, but to learn as well. They were really interested in self-directed learning. So Joel and library administration got together with the community Fab Lab, the CU Fab Lab, and grants were gotten, and the iSchool at Illinois also participates by providing volunteers. So we set up and take down a fab lab for the teens called the Teen Open Lab 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And since the spring of March 2013 and just last month, 10,000 kids have come in to do the Teen Open Lab activities. So we have 4 sewing machines. We have a 3D printer. We've got Mario Brothers. We've got Guitar Hero. We've got computers for Minecraft or homework. We've got board games. They play ping pong. What else, Carol?
Yeah, you know, I just had the beautiful experience of leading a tour of high school students from Urbana High School. So it was an ESL class. So 30 kids with their interpreters all came to tour the library. And they had set up Teen Open Lab. So I said, well, before you guys leave, let's just walk through Teen Open Lab. So we had all these kids step into this room, and I wish we could just show the radio audience, the auditorium as it's transformed for Teen Open Lab, with this table of sewing machines and piles of material and a big screen with video games on it, music mixing stuff on the side, and the 3D printer was already going. So the kids walk in, if you could have seen their faces light up, and we're talking, they're translating for the kids. And the Spanish language interpreters were struggling. How do you say 3D printer in Spanish? I'm not sure how you say that. I said, oh, well, it's running. Let's go over and look at it. So this whole circle of kids gather around the 3D printer while Joel, our teen librarian, explains to them, you know, how do you set up a digital model for what you want to print? How does it work? And the kids are all pressed in looking at it. And the interpreter turns to me and says, I wish libraries were like this when I was young. And just seeing that kind of vibrant way the kids light up when they see something creative, it's a mix of technology and your own artistic ability, it's really beautiful.
Wow. I'm intrigued because I think that there's, I was just watching something on Facebook the other day about a guy who was saying that, you know, we don't have, quote unquote, as what the term that a lot of people used, and it's very, I think, derogatory, slow children, right? What you have is a lack of creativity amongst your teachers, is what he said. Now, I'm just saying that, I'm not saying that. But what he was saying is that there has to be a way to reach each child who learns, whether they're visual learners or they're, you know, they're more auditory. You know, we just can't just sit everybody in the room and say, hey, recite these facts, read this book, right? You know, people want to touch things. They want to hug. They want to just talk. They want to see things happening. They want to, you know, they just want to do so many different things, so many different ways. And it's somewhat stifling, I believe, and a need for a change. And I think that what you're describing at this, the Teen Fab Lab, it's engaging them and it's meeting them where they are. And the question that he actually posed to the students was, tell me how you like to learn, or how do you like to learn, right? Mm-hmm. And now that it gives them some sense of responsibility, but it also gives you a chance to address them and to reach them where they are. But it also engages them and makes them think, oh, well, I don't know. How do I like to learn, right? But now I'm thinking about learning, right? You know? So anyway, I just thought that this Teen Fab Lab is a pretty incredible idea. You said Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah.
From what's the time frame again?
3 to 5:30, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'll just adding one more thing on that, Aaron. A really beautiful thing about working in a public library as opposed to a formal education environment. I'm not there to judge what somebody is curious about. I am just there to help them connect to what they're curious about. So when you come in and you say, I want to read books about this, you guys have that? Yeah, my job is help you find them. And then you jump in and you devour them. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing about something like Open Lab. And the other thing is, I'm not judging how well it happens. So one time I was down there and I was watching this young man. He had to be sixth grade or so, very diligently working on making this object with that 3D printer. And they had tried to make it several times, and it wasn't working every time. And so in an educational environment, you might have to look at that and grade that. But in that environment, he's just learning. How do you make that work? why didn't it work that time? And it's actually a fun process for him. It's a confidence building process instead of a process where he feels like he's messing up repeatedly. Mm-hmm. So it's partly that context
being
of
graded
encouragement.
And being judged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
And then he has to, or he or she, whoever it is, has to like, let me think through this.
Exactly.
How do I figure this out?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's interesting.
And we have the teens teaching us as well. So some of the kids come in already knowing some of the software that maybe a new staff member doesn't know. So it's teen interest driven, and it is about the experiences that they're having. And again, they teach us as much as we teach them.
You know, I was at a conference recently, and we were being told about an idea that was being used at a big corporation. And the idea was reverse mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the senior staff mentoring the millennials were actually mentoring the senior staff, right? You know, and you know, it's difficult sometimes because the norm is, you know, I'm the parent or I'm the boss, I'm the senior person, I'm supposed to teach you how this works. But as you just said, the world we live in now with technology and the way things change so fast, we need to be updated as well, you know, on what's hot and what's and what's not, right? So that's interesting to see how the teens will be able to teach other people. Or just, yeah, that's pretty cool. So back to the 1,000 books before kindergarten.
Yeah.
You said that the children get stickers and they get these various different things that they are able to sort of mark off as milestones and stuff like that. So the books that are being given are just other children's books for them to say, hey, you've made it to 1,000 books. Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing this program?
We started it just about a year ago, just October of last year. And I misspoke. We actually give out a book at 500 books and 1,000 books. And they get to pick from a selection. So we don't designate the book they get. We have a nice selection from, again, the Friends of the Urbana Free Library donate funds to support reading and literacy.
So, well, you know, where I was going with that was to try to see, you said it was a national program, right? If there was a way, if there's been any tracking of the students who've come through that and who've been successful reaching that 1,000 book plateau or milestone, if there was any way to show how they've been working or how it has affected their ability, you know, as they sort of matriculate through, you know, grammar school, high school, anything like that. Has a program been going on that long to have that type of information?
I'm not sure. And I know it can be difficult to link together with the school data privacy issues, together outside programs, and then to share the information schools get back to the community can be tricky. But I know some people are looking at that.
That would be interesting to see. It has to have an impact, though. I know you have to read all the time. I just learned, actually, I was reading some of the work and talking to Professor Chajua about his articles and things like that. And he was telling me how most newspapers, Newsweek or, you know, magazines and all that type of stuff are at the 10th grade level, I think is the baseline, that if you can read at a 10th grade level, then for the most part, you'll absorb and be able to understand what's being shared through these articles and these major publications and stuff like that. So, but when you run into people who are, you know, it's got to be frustrating when you're reading at a 7th grade or an 8th grade level and you're trying to stay abreast of what's happening and you're just not absorbing that information. And I just can't see how a program like this would be anything but successful and anything other than a great seed and a great plant to a seed to plant for people to grow and to enjoy reading. And you talked about, Carol, look, I'm just directing you to the area that you want to go. I'm not going to tell you what you ought to be reading.
And the second thing I'll say, you know, there's the skill of knowing how to read, and then there's the skill of wanting to read. And so it's both learning to read, but also loving to read. So I had a son who was very late reader, very late reader, in spite of the fact we read a lot at home, for whatever reason, he was way late on the curve of reading. But he loved books. He loved to be read to. He loved to come to the library. His concept was not that he was a late reader. He knew he loved books, and he knew he loved that experience. So in adulthood, He's a voracious reader. Mm-hmm. You would never have known that that guy in fourth grade was still really struggling with chapter books. That's very late in the game. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the 1,000 books, it's partly we want kids to, yeah, we want them to know their letters. We want them to learn how to read. We want them to do well on standardized tests. But we also want them to be curious and intellectually alive and feel like their curiosity and engagement with the world is a really good thing. And maybe even they would want to write something of their own at mm-hmm. some point. So it's both those tracks.
Mm. Does the any of the programs, especially the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten, do they write at all?
Not the 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten, but we do have a writing program. There's a series that Elaine Bearden does as one of our librarians called Write On, and she does different type of activities on a monthly basis during the school year. Hmm. So I believe this month they're going to be celebrating graphic novels and manga. And I think what you're talking about, Carol, is so common. We see that people interact with books, but maybe their love of books develops a little bit later. And I think now people have more options than maybe we were kids. So graphic novels have exploded as a format. And it's a really great way to have complicated stories with great vocabulary and images. And she's got one here that opens up reading to people that might not be as interested. But sometimes these stories suck you in a different way. And audiobooks, whether you're listening to them online, whether you're downloading them as e-audiobooks, or you're getting the plain old CD, the old school, and putting it in the CD player.
So CD players are old school now. That's interesting.
I know. Can you believe it? Well, we're back to having records at the library, LP records, so it all comes back around.
All right. Go ahead, Carla. You're on the air.
Other people in this house are listening. Very interesting. I'm on my way out. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Just it's good to know that people are listening, right? The Write On. I certainly remember at an early age, I grew up in Chicago early on, and I went to a school called Marcus Garvey Elementary School. And I do believe that for whatever reason, I enjoyed reading. Mm-hmm. And it was a skill for me, and I had a love for it. And I do think that it really, really helped me later in life as I ran into other struggles. I just read all the time, mm-hmm. right, during that phase. And I wrote, of course, mm-hmm. I see the book that you have over there. And so it was a way to, you know, this sort of, it was a therapeutic thing for me mm-hmm. as well. And I remember Irvin Williams from Restoration Urban Ministries talked about how he would go to the library to escape mm-hmm. because he could read and escape and go wherever the book would take him. And he could have that that venture in his imagination and stuff like that. And it's very, I guess, just therapeutic. It's just calming, right? You know, in so many different ways. And I remember how it helped me through those tough times. So I see it as a very valuable tool, the reading and the writing component. Mm-hmm. And I was frustrated as a parent, though. Because like for Amir, who just doesn't want to read anything unless it has to do with leopard geckos and horses, right? You know, it was just like, look, okay, that's great. And you can read 8 of those books, but you've got to read 2 of these, right, mm-hmm. on history or something like that. And it's such a contentious thing when you do that, right? You know what I mean? Like, oh, God, I don't want to read this again. Once we get into it, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But just letting people have the space to read, you know, Tatiana loved the novels, the romance novels and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And she'd read that all the time. And mm-hmm. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for me. So what do you say to parents? What have you all learned as librarians around? And how do you address those parents like myself who are saying, hey, you got to read this. You're not reading that stuff.
You know, I'm sympathetic, but as a parent, and correct me if I'm wrong, Celeste, I was relieved to see studies that said as long as a kid is reading, mm-hmm. as long as they're reading, they're going to be a lifelong reader. So it's not as important what a child is reading. It's that they are developing that skill of sitting down with a book, the kind of focus, the kind of attention, the skill to read fluently. If they do that, when they get older, they'll read more mature content, more broadly. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is to just keep him reading. So when my son was young and all he wanted to read were sports biographies, That's what we read. We read lots of sports biographies, or certainly there are many kids who want to read those really long fantasy series. You know, every book has 500 pages, right? And there's 8 in the series, and one comes out every 6 months. And I always feel like I can reassure parents, as long as your daughter or your son is reading, that's the most important thing. When you can slide something that broadens them a little bit, that they still love, good, do it. Do it, by all means. Encourage them to step outside their current comfort zone. But as long as they're reading, that's the key thing. I don't know if you've found the same thing, Celeste.
I have. I have indeed. And as a person that used to do Reader's Advisory, loving that, that's something library staff are really great at. Some of our staff are librarians, and some of our staff are not librarians but have professional experience working in bookstores. And they're all really great at saying, oh, you like this kind of book? Let me tell you why you might also like this other book. Let's talk it through and see. And then we'll give you recommendations of things you might like, but we don't expect you're going to like everything. So we want to give you choices that you can say, yeah, this is right for me or this isn't right for me.
You probably saw our teen fall reading program, Aaron. And this is exactly an example of where you're trying to give kids lots of choice, but also encourage them to step outside their comfort zone. For example, you can see on this, it's a bingo card. It's got spots all the way through. Maybe it's read a book with some poetry. Maybe it's read a book with short stories, read a book with a one-word title. So it still gives kids lots of choice what they read, but it's encouraging them to just step outside. What's that thing you always read? Now try something else.
So I've got like 3 other thoughts that have jumped in. All right, so first of all, one of them is going to be on the back end. We'll deal with this one last. And it's going to go back to the 1/3 of the county unprepared for kindergarten. Audiobooks.
Yes.
Now, audiobooks is something that I'm interested in because as I'm working, I'm moving around, I can't sit there and hold the book anymore. But I want to hear Ta-Nehisi Coates. I see that you have Ta-Nehisi Coates here, and it looks like an audiobook. But I cannot stand some plain person, some arbitrary person being the person reading the book in this methodical, slow, I don't know. It's like, I want to hear Ta-Nehisi's voice reading his book. Is that what we have here?
Let's see who's reading it. Oh, read by the author.
Read by the author. Now, and that I'm going to be able to get into. But some of the other ones, it throws me off. I'm like, it's like this very, I don't know, old white guy reading the book.
Aaron, have you checked out an audiobook lately?
I haven't, so maybe
come
that's
on, baby.
I got
get
an old.
I had
some old stuff. All right, so what you got for me? Tell me,
well,
it's changed now.
I'm just going to tell you for one thing, audiobooks are exploding in popularity right now.
Okay,
and you know, interest in ebooks has tabled off, and the place that is really exploding right now is audiobooks, particularly audiobook downloads, which the library has for free. Anybody with your Urbana card, you can get on and download an audiobook, put it on your iPod, listen to it on your phone. And because of the popularity of this, the field has gotten more and more interesting. So there are live performances of audiobooks now. Many are read by the author. There are certain authors who people love. I'm a big audiobook listener. I listen to audiobooks every day. And I got my readers that I love. I've got my genres that I love. And there are many, many downloadable audiobooks available now. And also, we still have our CD collection of audiobooks. But you should give them a try again.
Oh,
they've improved.
I definitely will now. You've intrigued. You piqued my interest again. That's for sure. Because I've tried to read. I've read most of Ta-Nehisi's book. But it's just like, the way he writes and the way he speaks, right? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I want to be able to hear him do it. So I'm going to come and check that one out for sure.
We'll leave
Did
it
you
for
say
you.
Something? All right. Okay, great.
A new study just came out, actually, that says that listening to audiobooks is not cheating. It counts as reading.
Okay.
A study showed this.
Well,
because so.
I was thinking about some people who, you know, I know a few people who are in their, you know, late 40s, early 50s, and are not, they just didn't have a strong passion for reading, and they struggle with reading. But yet they like to watch YouTube clips, and, you know, they want the information. They just don't want what to them is a very rigorous and struggle to sit down and try to read through it all. So the audiobooks would be certainly something I could suggest to them to come over to the library and, you know, yeah, because for me, I'm walking around all day, I'm working, instead of just listening to music, I could be listening to some of the books that I want to read, but I just don't have time anymore sit down and read them all.
And, you know, some audiobooks are just so good. For example, lots of comedians who write their own books.
Oh, I bet.
It is awesome when they're... Tina Fey, Bossy Pants, is one of my favorite audiobooks ever. Okay. There's just nothing like hearing the comedian read their own book. So it's not all serious.
You can, cool. That's cool. Now that, I'm glad that's a good piece for me. That's helpful for me.
Yeah.
So audiobooks. Now, the other thing that I see, and this sort of is going to segue into my third point, but I'm always, you guys have seen me on the council. I'm mm-hmm. driving home this mm-hmm. issue of diversity, mm-hmm. right? And of course, you've brought in Ta-Nehisi's audiobook. You have my first poetry book, and also John Jennings' book over there. It seems like the Urbana Free Library makes an effort to make sure that you have a diverse pool of authors and stuff like that for people to choose from. And it even seems like you have local folks. So you guys want to talk about that a little bit?
It's been a priority for us to offer a deep collection. So we get the bestsellers because people want those. But this is a community where people have varied and deep interest. And we look to our local authors. We look to niche things, a book about making a home out of old cargo containers. People mm-hmm. here read deeply, and I like to look at the quilting book pictures. So people are reading, people are flipping, and it's been important to us to have a collection that is very deep, and the community loves it.
Mm-hmm. And responsive. I would say, you know, we are always encouraging patrons. If you think we don't have something and we ought to have it, come talk to us. We want to include it in our collection. And we look at what's circulating. What are people in our community interested in? So, for example, I told you about New Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy a copy of that book and you see, wow, it's checked out all the time. There's a lot of holds on that book. We got to buy another copy. Turns out with that one, we need three copies. And I think I mentioned to you, New Jim Crow at our library alone has gone out 157 times.
Wow.
That's incredible in a community our size. Hmm. So we want to be responsive to the books people are curious about. When we hear someone interviewed on our local WILL station, we want to get that. When we see local authors, we have a local music collection. Because part of what we are is local. We're serving our community.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's very interesting. So I know I was shocked when I first did the first book, and then when Cope helped me with the second one. I had no idea that you could just write a book and put it in the library, right? People, you know, if you haven't done that, you don't know that that it's possible. You know, you just don't think about what the possibilities are like that if you haven't done it. And so it's just cool to say, look, you know, I've got a book of poetry at the Urbana Free Library. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel good. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You get two
that.
Books, don't you?
I have two books.
You get two at the Urbana Free Library.
Yes, indeed. And actually, we have some that I'd like to donate to the Urbana Free Library, because I don't know if you have the one that the Campus Academy young men did.
We do have
You do
that.
Have a copy of that? Okay.
We did in the past anyway.
So, okay. Because yeah. I have several of them we need to donate them to the other libraries. And this is a group of 6th and 7th graders who wrote their own poetry book. Mm-hmm. I was their teacher mm-hmm. at the time, and they wrote their own poetry book. They designed it and everything. Cope helped them. Cope yes. comes to them. Mm-hmm. But they chose the size, the font, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And they wrote several different types of poetry. And it's going to be great in about 10 more years for them to come back and like, wow.
Yeah,
I wrote that when I was in 6th grade, right?
We knew when.
Come in and autograph it for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Where are they now? All right, callers, listeners. That was a Freudian slip because nobody's calling, I guess, right? Callers, 217-359-5483 or 217-359-6545. I know everybody's either at the farmer's market, which is a great place to be, or you're at the Women Making Waves event celebrating with your state representative, Carol Ammons, and Robin Kelly, and Tammy Duckworth, and Sherry Bustos, and Susanna Mendoza, mm-hmm. all these wonderful people who are down there having a good time and eating while I'm here eating the microphone.
Yeah.
But I'm having a good time with Celeste Choate and Carol Inskeep from the Urbana Free Library, talking about all the wonderful programs and opportunities for adults and children, parents with newborns. Everyone has an opportunity to get over to listen to some audiobooks, hear from local authors, diverse authors from all different walks of life. And it's just an amazing opportunity at the Banner Free Library if you take advantage of it, right? So you can't just have a jewel. If you don't take advantage of it, then it's maybe it's a jewel to somebody else, but it's not a jewel to you.
Well, can I interject?
Yeah, sure, go right ahead.
You're already paying for the library. People have paid for their taxes. We are here to serve you. We want to make sure you feel like you're getting the value for your money, as well as being a community good to serve the entire community. We want you to know that we value your support. This library is 142 years old with community support, and we want to be here at least another 142 years. And we can't do that without you, our community, using us and making the best use of us. So please tell us what we can do to serve you best.
Mm-hmm. So operating hours for the library.
We're open 70 hours a week, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday and Saturday 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 6, and Sundays 1 to 5.
So every day you can come in at some point to the Banner Free Library and get what you need. And you have records now. You're going back to record players, huh?
We did go back.
If CDs are old school, what does that make record players, right?
It's cutting edge again.
Is that, oh, okay.
Now they have a record with a hologram, Aaron. Jack White has a record with a hologram out. He was formerly of the White Stripes. Oh. And you can check out our LP and you check out our record player and you play it and there's this little angel floating above the record. It's fabulous.
Okay.
So look, libraries are not the places that they used to be, are they? Uh-huh. Right? You're talking about a hologram. What? How do you do that?
They built it into the record.
And you play the record.
And you play the record. And if you look at the right angle, which there's a YouTube video talking about it, and then you can see this little angel floating above the LP.
Almost like singing the song or so, or just there.
Just there. Just okay. There.
Wow. That's pretty deep. I remember there was Tupac Shakur had a hologram concert or something like that, right? You know, but I never heard of, you know, you could actually get that old school record player. And I miss the sound, the crackling sound of when the record player is getting ready to come on and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So look, you know, what else you got for it? Anything else you
can? Hey, yeah. I want to mention a couple programs
please,
coming up.
Please, go ahead.
So next Friday, October 7, our library's a site for the Mandang Midwest Conference. That's the West African Drum and Dance. So we got a... It's Paul Muth in the building.
In the house. Yeah,
there's Paul. Paul uses the library. He's a regular at our live music concerts.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You having any drumming associated with the library?
Yeah, we're having West African Drum and Dance next Friday at 4:30 at the library. All our programs are free. This one is very well attended every year, so get there early. It's all ages. And there's going to be some really dramatic and awesome drumming and dancing with the West African artists who are visiting our community.
What, and that's Wednesday, you said?
That's Friday afternoon, 4:30.
It's one of the first Friday events in Urbana.
Yeah, 4:30. So one of... Oh, that's the landline.
Shall
so
I get that?
Yeah, please, Paul. Thank you. So one of the things that I did want to come back to, and I don't know if you have this statistical information, but... Of the one-third of the county who's unprepared, the children who are unprepared, have you been able to tease out any specifics on that? Is it in relationship to socioeconomic status, ethnicity, gender? Have you been able to tease out any of that? Like, is there more of an issue in a particular area than another? Have you been able to look that deep into it?
We're starting conversations with the schools to take a look at that because that, again, is a county statistic. And it's an average of the 2014 fall assessments of entering kindergartners, and that was supplied by the school districts to the Cradle to Career initiative.
Cradle to Career initiative. Go ahead, Paul. You have somebody?
Yeah, well, she didn't call in on the call-in line. There's not a lot of time for that now. But she just wanted to – you were talking about a hologram that somebody developed, and it apparently was an artist who came up here in – Champaign-Urbana. Tristan Duke is the guy that created that.
Cool. Oh, hologram. Fabulous.
Did you get the thing about the makerspace on your text? I texted
oh,
you.
Oh, I've got all the stuff
yeah,
going.
Yeah, there's a makerspace event Ooh. At Lincoln Square today, and it's very close to the library, right?
Yeah, we got people at that event, in fact.
It's the Heartland Maker Fair. Thank you for mentioning that.
So you wanted to elaborate on it a little bit clearer so we can make sure we're clear, but that everybody gets it. Heartland Makerspace Fair.
Yep, and it's happening at Lincoln Square. Started at 9 o'clock, I believe.
Most of the day.
So just quickly, Makerspace. You just go into the space and make whatever you want to make. What is Makerspace like? What is it?
So people who are makers, are there selling the things they've created? Or you're going to have things like Wyscamp is going to be there showing people how to do screen printing. They did that last year at least.
Okay.
We'll probably have something like our 3D printer or vinyl cutter there to show it off.
Hmm.
So different groups, community organizations will be there showing you what kinds of maker things you could do at their facility. I'm sure the Fab Lab is there, and it will be a place you can go have a good time as a family, as an individual, see the creativity happening in our community, purchase some things to support local makers, mm-hmm. and hopefully if Piatto's is open, buy some food and support them as well.
Yes, indeed. So you said that you were looking, that this was the initiative, the one-third of the county who's unprepared, or the children who are unprepared
mm-hmm.
to when they walk into kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And the group, again, that you said that was looking at that.
The Cradle to Career.
Cradle to Career.
It's CU Cradle to Career.
CU Cradle to Career. And they took the county stats for assessments from 2014.
In 2014. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And those assessments are done for all students?
For all kindergartners
entering school. All kindergartners into school. Wow. Did they say what determines whether or not the child is not prepared for kindergarten? Is this just at a reading level, though? That's what this is about?
It says that they're not ready to learn. So I don't know all the details behind that.
Okay.
So what we are doing is talking with the USD to see how we can support the kids, just generally,
okay.
all of the students there. So we go to the Early Childhood Learning Center. We do story times there. We've reached out to them for summer reading.
Mm-hmm.
We've given them the 1,000 books before kindergarten information. So we are doing what we can broadly in our community. And we are trying to dig a little deeper to see, are there particular areas, are there communities that need a little bit more assistance that the library can support, whether it's bringing books to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to support our teachers in different ways too. So we changed, for example, the number of books that teachers can do with the teacher holds. As a teacher, you can call up and say, I'd like 5 books on dogs and 20 books on hamsters or whatever it is, and
mm-hmm.
or on a theme, and we'll pull those together. And we just changed it to make it more accessible. So we're trying to support the community at different ways and at different levels.
Okay. Well,
and it's like, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
As I get more data, I can share it with you.
Okay, that would be great. Just trying to break it down. I'm trying to use the program and use the platform that I have also, specifically because my experience has been, and maybe this is because I'm not in the library as much as I should be, that I don't see the diversity in some of the programs are coming out and taking advantage of the things. I guess my feeling is that most of my constituents and the people in the African American communities who are not in a more exposed area, like really in the heart of the community in where I'm at and where I serve, they don't know about things like the farmer's market or the maker space or the mm-hmm. IMC, these places that really, if you haven't been involved, you don't come out and see it happening on a regular basis. So I'm trying to reach out to that part of especially in the African-American community, who are just not aware of some of these different things, and just make it more palatable to them, let them see the benefits of it. And I certainly believe that it's important for us to get our children to read as soon as possible and to really have that thirst for reading mm-hmm. as soon as possible, and to take advantage of what your tax dollars are paying for. So get out there and be involved in it and bring your voice, your culture, your perspective to the table, and make it the space that we want it to be.
You know, Aaron, I think you would be heartened to see how diverse the users are for Urbana Free Library. And speaking as somebody who's been working there 20 years,
mm-hmm.
I have never seen our programs, our collection used by such a diverse cross-section of the community.
Mm, okay.
And I think part of it is there's a need. You know, when you are a new immigrant, when you are struggling financially, when you are trying to get your feet on the ground for your own education and trying to raise kids, the library is this free resource for you. Or not free, you're paying for it with your taxes. Mm-hmm. But if you stepped into our Teen Open Lab, I think it would be awesome to you to see what the diverse group of teens in there are doing. Mm. It's really incredible. If you saw how many immigrant families are using our resources, if you saw Monday mornings when you come in, who's in there looking for jobs, doing their Parkland homework on our computers. I think you'd be very, very pleased to see.
And you know, and I've seen the diversity with the usage of the library. I just, you know, it just feels to me like there's some things that are, that from my experience over the years, was that we didn't really know about some of these particular things. And there are some families who have a little more exposure who are who know about them. But even those who come and say, look, I know that the library is there, but I don't know about some of these other particular mm-hmm. programs mm-hmm. That exist within the library, right? And something like this jewel of the 1,000 books before kindergarten, something that I just want to, I know that I've talked to several people and several mm-hmm. daycare providers who know nothing about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And so, and I know that they have largely African-American children that they keep for the parents in our community. So I just want to try to do whatever I can to try to increase that exposure and that access. That's all.
Call us. We want to come out. We want to do outreach to people who are looking for other resources.
All right.
Do you interact with the Head Start programs around town?
Yes, we do. We go to Head Start and do different story times and activities. And we've got a nice new brochure that lists some of the services we offer.
Oh, okay.
With hours on the back, just a simple handout. So if there are places that we can make our information available to people so that they know about it, we encourage you to call us mm-hmm. and let us know if you want us to come to your preschool, daycare, church group, whatever it is. We want to come and tell you about the library and about the things we offer.
Well, see, one of the things that we did at the Breakfast Club is that we took, we were a part of the Books to Barbershops program. It was a national initiative. And so we put a couple of bookshelves in a couple of different libraries mm-hmm. and in one of the beauty salons, and then supplied some books from our own shelves and bought some books offline and stuff like that. So we definitely want to be a part of any of those types of initiatives. So I think making sure that we have something mm-hmm. like this, the NAACP, National Council of African American Men and Women, mm-hmm. You know, things like that to make sure that we're reaching out and in the churches, mm-hmm. in the African American mm-hmm. churches, yes. making sure that those things are in there. So, well, my time is about up, all.
But you can have a couple minutes of mine if you want to.
Talk about purple. Wow, is that right? Is that purple and gold, strong and bold? The SEIU, Service Employees International Union, on the picket lines yesterday at Oak and.
You don't have to read their copy. What happened?
I'm saying it. That's what I'm saying. We were out there in that purple and gold in the rain. SEIU was bargaining with the University of Illinois, and they're telling us that we don't really care about the staffing levels that you have to endure because we're losing staff, but adding buildings, we want you to do more for less, and we don't have any programs, any money for you. We want to actually cut your programs. We don't want you to be able to have overtime. We want you to work different hours. We want to be able to bring you in and send you home when we want to. These are the things that we're getting from them across the table. But we're fighting back. When they say cut back, we say fight back.
Cut, you know? At the top.
Chop, chop from the top, baby. That's what we say, you know.
I'm into rallying well. I know all the slogans as well as you do.
Yes, indeed.
Ricky Baldwin, the business agent, said he was going to get me that purple hoodie.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I think you've put in enough. Yes, you got to go right to the top.
Yeah, make sure I get that.
Well, we're going to work that out.
It was a little yesterday.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, Paul. And I need it. I'm trying to stay engaged with the things that keep me going. I appreciate you all coming down here today, sharing this information. Don't try to go off with my audiobook now.
I'm telling you, Aaron, I'm going to be checking out a bunch of audiobooks to you, dude. You better be listening to them.
All right, I will. I love them. I'm going to love them. But if you're telling me
you get an iPod?
I do have an iPod, but I usually just, I can put it on my phone?
Yeah, you can download it on your phone.
Yeah, so I've got to make some space
on there. That's going to be the most convenient thing for you.
So listen, announcements. I do want to announce that the Expungement Clinic, October 22nd, it is the first.